God's grace, His mercy, and His joy be with you from the King of Kings today, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, I'd like to start off today with a couple verses with you from Psalm 12. And see if you can relate to this. These are David's words. See if you might have said these kinds of words yourself. He says, "Help, Lord, for there's no longer any that is godly. For the faithful have vanished from among the sons of men. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak." Verses 7 and 8. "Do thou, O Lord, protect us. Guard us ever from this generation. On every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the sons of men." You ever feel like that? When you're looking around at the world, I mean, sometimes when you look at the news, it's like, "Whoa, Lord, what's going on? The faithful have vanished from among the sons of men. There's no longer any that's godly. On every side the wicked prowl. What's going on?" Sometimes when I look at the world, at least the news, it seems like that. It's like it's unhinged. It's slipped its mooring. It's gone mad. You see one person fighting against this person and this person fighting against that person. And there's contention and there's pain and there's trouble in the world. And you feel like what David is saying here in Psalm 12. The faithful have vanished. On every side the wicked prowl. What's going on, Lord? It's a crazy, mad, abusive world. Then you can also not only just look at the news and see this, you could look at your own life or the lives of people around you, your community, people that you know, and you're like, "Ah, oy vey," right? It's a mess there too. There's so much trouble, or there's divorce, or there's contention, or there's anger or pain. And you're like, "Oh man, this is crazy. What's going on, Lord? Things are wrong. They're by far from being, they're certainly not right." And that can be very frustrating to us, like it was for David, and discouraging or disheartening. And it can be very hard to keep hope alive. But today I'd like to talk with you about hope. Where does God call us to place our hope? For that golden age when everything is all right and good in the world. Isn't that what you want? Just a world where everything's right and good in the world. And you can rejoice in that. So where do we look to place our hope with respect to these things? Let's see what God would teach us about that today in His holy word, the scriptures. Well, first thing God says to us today in His word is this. Don't look for it, my people, in the past. You know, a lot of people do that, don't we? And don't we do that? You know, you're living your life and things aren't going the way you planned. And there's a lot of trouble. And you long for the former days, right? The good old days when life was a lot sweeter, it was a lot kinder, and all was good back then. You know the days of Mayberry? Remember Andy Griffith's show? Yeah. It's like all we do is go fishing, and we come home to Aunt May's peach cobbler. Mom, apple pie, you don't have to lock your doors. Remember those days? We long for the good old days. We want to go backwards to find our hope, to find that golden age that we so greatly yearn for when all is good and right and true. But God says, don't go to the past to find the golden age to place your hope. Why? Well, let's take a look. Let's read what he says here in Ecclesiastes. This is so telling. This is written, by the way, 3,000 years ago. Solomon, the Holy Spirit says through Solomon, "Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For it's not from wisdom that you ask this." In other words, guess what? 3,000 years ago, people were saying, "Ah, the good old days, if we could only go back to them." But God says, through Solomon, it's not from wisdom that you're saying this. Why? God says, your memory is selective. It wasn't so ideal as you think it was. You remember some things, but you're forgetting others. For it says here in Ecclesiastes 1, "What has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done. There's nothing new under the sun." Amen? What you're experiencing today is what people experienced long ago. And he says, is there a thing of which you can say, "See, this is new"? It's been already in the ages before us. But there's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance later of things yet to happen among those who came after. In other words, you look back to Mayberry and say, "Oh, if only we could live like the Andy Griffith show again. the simple, kind, and sweet life when it was all was right and good in the world. But God says, it was not so ideal back then as you think. Don't go back there in the past to find it. You're not going to find it there. Can I help try to prove that or share that with you? Let's take a little trip through history and see if we can find the golden age. You want to go back to your youth? Well, there was a guy named Frank Kaiser. He reported this once. He says, more than 50 years ago, the top seven discipline problems were talking, chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls, getting enough turn in line, wearing improper clothes, and not putting paper in the waste baskets. He says, today the problems are drug and alcohol abuse, pregnancy, suicide, rape, robbery, assault, and guns in school. Now, there are some good things of the past, right, that you might want to go back towards. The old Mayberry, where you solve all your problems in 25 minutes. But the problem is you're forgetting, or we're forgetting, that the past was not so ideal as we think it was. Because in those days also, there was widespread prejudice around, where you look down on people of another colored skin. There was polio, which killed so many people, or maimed them. Two world wars. You know, the 1900s, the days of Andy Griffith's show, was the bloodiest century in the history of the world, all other centuries combined. Do you know that in those days, in 1904, you could only live to 47 years? Well, that was the average, was you're 47 years old. I mean, I'm almost at my peak. I'm done. I'm over. It's 46. I got a few months left. 40% of houses had a bathtub in those days. And you had the Great Depression. So it was so dark back in those days that they didn't even think they'd get to our century, the 21st. And so God says, don't go to the past to look for it. Well, maybe if we go further into the past. Let's go back a little further. You want to take a trip back with me through history? Let's go back to the Old West. Remember Little House on the Prairie, that show? Oh, if only we could go back to that. It was so ideal. Just you, your family, and some friendly animals. Wouldn't that be great? But you look at that show, it was hard. People were dying. And I found this, actually, website. It's kind of fun. 9 reasons why there wasn't stress in the good old days. You want to hear it? You've heard of Bayer's aspirin, right? Well, here in the 1890s, you could buy Bayer's heroin over the counter. It was recommended for even the usual cough, but you only really used to give it to children. Then you have Stickney and Poor's Paregoric. This was given to, you know, today it's mostly spices, but in those days they got a syrup to help your baby sleep well. And if the opium inside wasn't enough, the 46% alcohol would certainly do the trick. Over here you have Mariani wine. You ever heard of that? Pope Leo XIII was said to have never left home without a bottle. He even gave the producer of this wine the Vatican's gold medal, and His Holiness the Pope said he fully appreciated the beneficent effects of this tonic wine. What was in this wine? Well, no, in this one it was wine mixed with cocaine. He never left home without it. No wonder he appreciated the effects of this tonic wine. It was a real upper. You know Coca-Cola? You've heard of that? It used to have cocaine in it. It was a pick-me-up in the afternoon. Well, I guess it was. You even had cocaine tooth drops here for your kids. And the real benefit was not only did they get over their troubles of their teeth instantaneously, but your children were a lot happier. And Mrs. Winslow's soothing syrup here. Look at this advertisement. You get home and You're a mother where you're dealing with crying children. Well, just give some of this to them. The 65 milligrams of morphine will quiet them down. So, you know, you look at the good old days and you wonder, you know, why grandma doesn't remember the pain of the good old days. I'm surprised she can remember her name. So it's not the old West. Let's go back to early America. Can you go back to early America? You know, we have so much trouble in politics. It's all wrong in the politics, right? There's so much contention this way and that. Everybody's fighting. If only we could go back to the founding fathers, where everybody got along and it was all nonpartisan. Well, let's go back to the early America. You got Secretary of Treasury Alexander Hamilton. He has a problem with Vice President Aaron Burr. What did they do? July 11th, 1804, they went to the heights of Weehawken, New Jersey, and they settled it by shooting each other. And the vice president died the next day. The U.S. Secretary of the Treasury shot and killed the vice president. Talk about working across the aisles. It was not the golden age. They had a lot of great things back then, but it's not the golden age you seek. But maybe we could go back one more. Let's go back to the early church, because let's at least go to the church. You know, a lot of churches these days have problems, right? And so they think, well, let's go back to the purity of the early church, when it was all perfect and pure and everybody got along and everything was wonderful and right and good in the world. Well, just open your Bible. Look over here at 1 Corinthians 5. Paul says to the Corinthians, it's actually reported that there's sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that's not even found among pagans. For a man is living with his father's wife, and you're arrogant? Shouldn't you rather mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. So a guy is living with his mother-in-law, sleeping with her. Was that the perfect, pure, golden age that you want to go back to? Now, there's a lot of good things in the early church, but there are also divisions. There was sin, there was trouble, there were false prophets going around. And so God says, don't go back to the former time, to the past, to find that golden age that your heart so seeks after, because it's not from wisdom that you say the former days were better than these. You're just forgetting, God says, that they had a lot of trouble back then too. And God does not want his people for your hope ever to look back. You can take some pieces from the past and bring it present, some good elements, that's great, but don't put your hope back there. God says, my people are not a backward-looking people. Remember Lot's wife. She left and she turned back and she turned to a pillar of salt. God says, my people are a forward-looking people. Don't set your hopes in the past. Well, that's your past. How about now? Let's just turn it over a little bit. Does God want us to place our hope for that golden age in the present? You know, that seems like a ridiculous idea, right? To put your hopes in the present for your golden age that God, that you so greatly desire. But we do this too. We do. Our present lives are not going so well, and we think, hey, if I just do this a little bit better, if I make these adjustments, and if I get this in order, then I'm going to create the utopia for myself. I'm going to create that perfect life, that dream life, where all my desires are fulfilled and all is good and right in the world. Don't you feel like that sometimes? I bet you do. You've already fallen into trap number one of thinking you can go back to the good old days. And in our present lives, we get so frustrated because we're thinking, oh, if only I did this, then I'll get all this and it's all going to be right. God says, wrong again. You can't look to the present life. You know, make it as good as you can, but you can't look to the present life to find all that your heart is desiring, that golden age. You know, a lot of Word of Faith preachers jump up on this. You've heard of Joel Osteen? Prosperity teachers, Word Faith teachers, health and wealth gospel. You know what these guys, they're wrong. He has a book called Your Best Life Now. Get it now. Your utopia now. All your desires fulfilled now type of thing. And, you know, they're capitalizing this, but you're not going to find the golden life, the golden age in this present life. Why? Well, let's open up the Bible again. God says here in the book of Job, over here, chapter 5, he says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Amen? As soon as you think you're going along pretty well in life and you got it all planned out and it's all going to work out just perfectly, this wrench comes flying in out of nowhere, and boom, you're like, this is not the life that I was planning. What happened to it? I haven't arrived at it. Jesus says in John 16, verse 33, in the world you will have tribulation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says, you yourselves know that this is to be our lot. For when we were with you, we told you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass and as you know. So are you going to attain the golden age in this life? We keep trying this, don't we? I keep trying this. I keep thinking, if I just get my journal out and I set up exactly what I should do and I fulfill this list of 20 things a day, it's going to be a marvelous, amazing, fulfilled everything. You know what? It always fails. And that's the way it's going to be. Not that we shouldn't make our lives better. We should make our lives as good as we can. But don't look for this life to be your golden age. Don't ever put your hope here, because you're going to be disappointed. Because, well, what does Paul say? Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, this is the present evil age. We're fighting against sin. We're fighting against the world. We're fighting against the devil. And when we're in this big battle, it's never going to be the perfect life that you're seeking. So don't get your, don't get all bent out of shape if your life isn't perfect. Don't get all pulling your hair out as if, what's going wrong? God says, this is not where you place your hope. This is not where your hope is to be set. Enjoy the good things I give you. Give thanks for them. Give thanks for the miles you've come. Make your life as good as you can, rejoicing in me. I'm helping you. But don't place your hope here in this life. You're going to be disappointed, because this is a tough life. This is not the golden age. So where's God point us? You know, we've already canceled out too. It's not in the past. It's not in the present. Where is it? It's in your future. You know that all of Scripture points you forward today in your heart to the future, to place your hope for the golden age. The entire book, constantly, nonstop, 100%, is saying, look to the future, to my coming kingdom, for your hope, oh Christians. For example, let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Paul, he's describing how he lived his life. He says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Is that where your heart is? Is that how you are? You know, we got so many miles behind us. Give thanks for them, but don't go backwards. And we got this present life. Make it as best as you can, but it's hard. But what he says is, forget that. Strain forward and run for something ahead of you, upwards, onwards, beyond the horizon. It's God's kingdom. Press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do you think all future, all scripture is future oriented like this? Yes or no? One yes, is that it? How many yeses do we have? Raise your hand. Quite a few. Okay, at least half of you. Let's take a look here at the future oriented perspective of Scripture. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is preaching the Beatitudes. He says, blessed are you who mourn, for you shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Future? Peter, in his letter, says, we've been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Where's God pointing you? A salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, in the future. God says, this is going to give you so much joy and indomitable strength in the present as you go through your present trouble if you keep your eyes ahead of you on the future and not just on this present life or looking behind you to the past. Paul says, set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you've died. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Where is your life right now? Is it lived right now? You have a present life, but Scripture says this is not really your life. This is just like you're in the womb of your mom, you know, and you're waiting to be born. You're going to come out into daylight. That's where our life is. If you're a baby, do you want to live in your mom's womb forever? No, that's where you grow up, but you're aiming for a life out in the outside sunshine. That's where God is directing us. When Christ comes, then our life is going to appear, and that's going to be our true life. So don't let your heart get all down in this world if it's not the way you wanted it. Do you get down because your world's not the way you want it all the time? Sea turtles over here on the beach are born. They're born in the sand. Is that where they're destined to live? As soon as they're born, they are scurrying as fast as they can, like race cars, to the light of the moon, to the sea, because that's their destiny. That's their home. If you look at homing pigeons and you take them to some foreign country and faraway city and you let open the cage, what do? They sit there and squat? Do they just hang out in the city square and eat crumbs of bread? They're instantly winging their flight home to a home far away. So to be for Christians. For Scripture says, as David says in Psalm 39, God, I'm thy passing guest, a sojourner like all my fathers. You're just travelers. We're travelers with a backpack on, traveling lightly through this world to somewhere else, a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called our God, for he's prepared for us a city. So think of the pilgrims of 1620. When they left England in September 6th, 1620, would they have ever made it to America if they were thinking back on England and looking behind them? Answer?
No.
Hey, I like that. Very good. You know, they forgot all their past. Everything that was familiar to them and comfortable, they put behind them and got on a ship with low provisions, cramped, miserable, with huge waves crashing over the topside deck. Along the way, they had a lot of trouble. The main beam support cracked on their ship. They faced winter gales and seasicknesses to get to the New World. So they didn't get there looking to the past. What if they got right into the middle of the North Atlantic? And all of a sudden someone stood up and said, all right, here's where we're going to make our best life now. And we're going to live here. Let's just stop the ship. And this is where our utopia will be. What would happen? This guy would be considered nuts. They'd put him on, what, Mrs. Winslow's cough syrup or something. You know, give him some opium. Get him off of this crazy rant. Because you're not going to set up a little bubble, a little world, a little utopia in the middle of the North Atlantic Ocean in the middle of winter. And in the same way, God says, don't be setting up your shop here in this life. Enjoy this life as best you can. Make it as great as you can. Walk with me in faith and joy and trust my help. But you don't stop here. Don't let your hearts place your hopes in this life. Set them in the world to come. And that's such an advantage to you, because not only is it the hope of the saints, but it's going to give you strength and indomitable joy here. And Jesus says, when the waves of this life beat upon you and there's tumult among the nations and you see evil abounding in the world, when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Think about that. Where are we right now in the history of the world, in the history of your life? We are so fast approaching the shore. We're almost across the Atlantic. Any day now, as the ship bobs and weaves up and down over the swells, you're going to see a land appear. Very soon, a golden horizon, a golden age, a golden city just over the sea. It's almost here. Don't lose your hope. All Scripture is future-oriented. Therefore, Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, therefore, gird up your minds, be sober, set your hope fully upon the grace that's coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So how much of your faith, your hope, should you set on the future? Set your hope fully upon the grace that's coming to you when Jesus returns. And Jesus has prepared for us a city. Okay, Jesus came. He died for our sins and rose again in order to do many things. First of all, to forgive your past, to put that behind you and say, I've washed it. It's forgiven. Don't let it haunt you anymore. I've broken you free from those chains. Just like casting off a dock line, you're in a ship now with me. We're sailing forward. And he says also, I will be with you always to the close of the age. As we cross this great ocean, you're not going to be alone. I'm with you. Rejoice in that. I give you victory. And my cross has not only forgiven you, and I give you eternal life, but I have also prepared for you a future, a holy city, a city on a hill, a beautiful country. And what's that world going to be like? Well, the Bible says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man conceived. Well, God's prepared for those who love him, but we can already see it through a mirror dimly, through the spyglass, if you will, at least in our mind's eye, just over the horizon. But one day we're going to see it face to face. For God says, behold, I create Jerusalem rejoicing, a new heavens and a new earth, and I will make my people a joy. I'll rejoice in it and be glad in my people, and no more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. Can you picture that city? There's going to be, the wolf shall lie down with the lamb. The leopard is going to lie down with the young goat. The calf will lie down with the lion, the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them, for they shall not hurt or harm or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. For the earth shall be covered with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Are you excited about that? Are you looking forward to that? Is that your future? How certain is it? God says these words are trustworthy and true. And one day he's going to say, behold, I create all things new. And those who are wise, says Daniel, shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. According to God's promise, says Peter, we are waiting a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Are you looking forward to that? All will be good and right and true and fulfilling, better than Mayberry, better than fishing and Aunt May's peach cobbler. God has prepared for you and me a city which has no end. And so I'll conclude with this, that David, when he is in his psalm there, Psalm 12, he says, you know, help, Lord, for there's no longer any that is godly. The faithful have vanished from among the sons of men. But then God answers him like this. He says, because the poor are despoiled, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. So your past, give thanks for it, the many miles you've come, but you're not looking there, nor to the present, but to the future, where God has prepared for us a city. The golden evening brightens in the west. Soon, soon to faithful warriors comes their rest. Sweet is the calm of paradise, the blessed. Alleluia, alleluia, amen.